Sorry about getting a late start this morning. We have a lot of sickness, so we'll do the best we can. Hopefully you can stay well during this time. There is a lot of flu going around and some COVID is what I notice from the people that work in the emergency rooms. Tom is sick, and I know Tyler now is sick, and so we're filling in what we can with that. So you'll have me leading the sing this morning, so sing out as best you can. We're down a little bit on that. We're glad to have Roger Chapin and Denise here with us this morning, his wife, and he'll be talking about World Bible School. And one of the things I noticed, it's just amazing to talk about, that 40 million people have been reached through World Bible School. So that is something for us to be able to help what we can in that, and it's encouraging in that. And the Bibles we did have that we were giving to people that didn't have a Bible, they have come from World Bible School in the past. So if you'll turn to 679, and this is something that just came up recently too. That is the song, I Know the Lord Will Find a Way for Me. And we've had discussion and with Daryl Hurst, too, about there's something about the way that's written that we'd like it to say a little bit different than that. I'm going to try to remember to do this as I'm singing this morning. But if you look at that song, 679, the verse that reads, I know the Lord will find a way for me, we're going to sing that is, I know the Lord, He has a way for me. I think it's a possibility, and this is what Daryl Hurst brought up on that people misinterpret that. There is just one way, and that's through Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that's what our thinking is on that. I know the Lord, He has a way for me, and there's other ways we could probably say that, but we're going to try to do that. I hope I can do that. I've sang this the other way a good bit, and that's something when you change those things. So we'll do the best we can with that. 679, I know the Lord, He has a way for me. I know the Lord, He has a way for me. Please stand if you're able at this time. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Our almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, we come to Thee this morning worshiping Thee as our Creator and the Creator of all things that are in existence. We pray this morning, Father, for the many that are sick at this time and those that we know that have had long-term illnesses and problems that you would be with them and meet their needs the best that you would will, according to your will, and that each of us would do the best that we can and things that we might be helpful with them in remembering others in these times. We pray this morning, Father, that we might worship thee in spirit and truth and be well-pleasing in thy sight. We pray for the many we know of that are facing surgeries and operations that will be coming up soon or recently had them. Now, Father, we pray that as we sing these songs to thee and we hear thy word, that we will be doers of those things that we utter and just not give lip service to you. We ask forgiveness, Father, in the things that we are weak in, and that we would realize those, repent of them, and be a better servant for you in the future. We pray that you'd watch over Roger and Denise as they travel about spreading the word and about World Bible School and trying to reach the lost. And as we all want to do, let's reach out to our neighbors and friends and the opportunities we have to mention God and mention Jesus Christ to them. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to remain faithful and continue to grow. And we look so much to that promise of being eternally in that heavenly home with you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. God is so good. 716. If you will mark the invitation song at this time too. There's a fountain free, and that's 576. 576. Let's sing the first, third, and last verse, that 1, 3, and 5. God is so good.
God is so good.
Good morning. It's a privilege for me to be able to be here and share God's word with you again. We looked at some interesting things, I believe, as far as World Bible School is concerned and our Bible class time together. But as we come into the worship service, as we as brothers and sisters are coming into the very presence of our God this morning, we focus on His word and on His truth, which at World Bible School, we are dedicated to His truth. There's always someone who kind of stands out in your own lives. There's someone that you're going to be able to look back upon and remember in the course of time how they were able to influence you as far as your relationship with God is concerned. And in the course of that time, you begin to realize that there was some sacrifice that was involved in that. That somebody actually cared enough for you that they spent time with you and took time willing to help teach you about the things that God wants you to know, as revealed in His Word. A co-worker of mine at World Bible School who lives in Alabama, His congregation, where he attends when he's not on the road, as I am with World Bible School, they sponsor a missionary overseas in Malawi. And he goes over every 12, 18 months or so to kind of help encourage and check up on the work and see if there's any needs that need to be met and try to encourage all that they can. And one gentleman that he came into contact with, and this is probably about 3 years ago, by the name of Juop Williams. And Juop Williams was one who was heavily into denominational Christianity, and he had even grown to be a head over several denominational bodies as far as some of the charismatic portions of Scripture are concerned that some people choose to follow after today. But in the course of time, Steve, my co-worker, was able to have kind of a revival, a gospel meeting in some areas of Malawi where he was visiting. And during one of the evening sessions, this Juop Williams responded to his invitation. And he said, "I want to thank you for helping me to realize what it is that God truly wants me to know as far as His truth is concerned and what I need to be teaching other people. And what you have shared with me tonight, I'm going to go back to these other churches that are under me, and I'm going to share with them what you have brought into my life, into my heart tonight." And he also said, "I want you to understand, I'm not doing this just because you said this. I'm doing this because God said it. But you have helped me to see it." And so he went back. He had like 16 churches under him that he was kind of a overseer of. And he began teaching God's truth to them. And to this date, he has baptized at least 600 of them and brought them into a knowledge of God's truth as far as New Testament Christianity is concerned. But even beyond that, he has gone and visited other locales around where he lives. And he's gone into villages, he's gone into cities, and he's gone into other churches so that he could proclaim the good news of Jesus. And some of the reports that we're getting back is he went into one denominational church, preached the good news of Jesus Christ, proclaimed the gospel to them, baptized 87 of them that day. Went to another church and baptized nearly 60 of them. And so I was telling Steve, I said, this man is on fire. I mean, everywhere he goes, great things happening and happen. And just this past last weekend, he was out proclaiming the gospel again and had several more baptisms of people that he comes into contact with. And the reason that I bring that up is because, as I want people to understand, it isn't just World Bible School. World Bible School is a tool that God is able to use because faithful brothers and sisters are able to use some of the things that we offer, and they're able to reach out. But the real essence of the message is God's Word and the power of the Word. The power of God's Word will change the hearts and minds of men. And He doesn't need us to change anything of what He's revealed. He just needs us to kind of stand up for that. And recently in my home congregation, I live and worship with a small congregation in Hartford, Kentucky. And when I'm not on the road with World Bible School, I'm there teaching Bible class and preaching and leading singing with them. And recently I've had a series of lessons on stand up for Jesus. Why do we want to stand up for Jesus? Well, one of the sermons centered around because Jesus stood up for us. When nobody else would be able to come to our aid or our defense, Jesus was there. And he's done things for us that nobody else was going to be able to do. But also, what I want to share with you this morning, stand up for Jesus and his church. We have a lot of different ways that Satan is going about trying to weaken brothers and sisters' relationships with the Lord, trying to weaken their faith, trying to pull them away. And so simply the word tells us as mature brothers and sisters, as faithful brothers and sisters, we want to stand up for Jesus and his church because our salvation depends on it. But in the process, the salvation of others depends on it. And we don't know who we're going to be able to help as far as their relationship with God is concerned. But it starts with standing up for Jesus and his church. And one of the reasons we do that is because it is his church. I didn't die for the church, and I wasn't raised from the dead, and no other man has died for the church, and no other man has meant to the church what Jesus means to the church. It is his church. And this church was even prophesied as far as Old Testament scripture is concerned. We're familiar with Isaiah the prophet, and the kingdom is going to be one of peace. And many people may misunderstand what that peace is. Not long ago, as we went through the what we commonly referred to as the holiday season, and a new year was dawning upon us, and usually it's about that time that people will say, I just want to see peace in the world. And they'll use Luke chapter 2, you know, good tidings to men and peace on earth, which is good, but that's not the peace that Jesus brings into the world. It would be wonderful for all the nations of this world to be able to gather together in harmony and get along with one another, that we wouldn't have some of the hostilities and everything that we see from time to time, and some that are even going on now. But as long as you're dealing with human beings, you're always going to have those types of things. Just because of the frailty of the flesh. And dealing with sin problems that make themselves manifest in many different ways. But Jesus was one who spoke of peace. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, it's a passage we're familiar with, but I just go back to put this into our minds. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Where he says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And as Isaiah is beginning that particular portion of his prophecy, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. And even back in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, it talks about Jerusalem and all nations are going to flow unto it. And man may choose to interpret this in many different ways. I've just started recently a study on our Wednesday night Bible study on the city of Jerusalem. Looking back at some of the historical aspects of the city, perhaps as close as we can determine when the city itself was established, some of the things that before it became known as Jerusalem. The scriptures will refer to it as Salem back in Genesis chapter 14 with Melchizedek. Also Jabus, the Jebusites that were there in the days of David. And so there's been a lot of different things in different ways written about Jerusalem. But when you read passages such as Isaiah chapter 9, many people begin, and also in chapter 2, many people begin to think more of the particular city than really what Scripture wants us to be able to understand. And the significance of Jerusalem is not the physical city. The significance of Jerusalem is the church. And the New Jerusalem that's written about in New Testament scripture. When Abraham was looking for a city, largely the city that he was looking for, a city that was not made with hands, was the heavenly Jerusalem. It was the church, it's heaven, it's eternity with God. But many people are being misled into thinking that this physical Jerusalem is where everybody is going to flow to. Because some believe that the final judgment's going to take place there, and they have other beliefs surrounding the city of Jerusalem. But Scripture really doesn't talk about those things. And so we have to be very careful when we're looking at prophecy, when we're looking at the Scriptures, when we're standing for Jesus and His church. What does the Scripture say about the church? And what does it say about our relationship with it? When Jesus promised to build his church, Matthew chapter 16, about verse 18, you know the dialogue that's there. As Jesus was asking his disciples, well, who do men say that I am? And the responses varied. Well, some say Jeremiah, you know, others say, you know, you're somebody else, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus just told him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church. And the rock is not Peter, the rock is the confession that Peter made. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because at that particular time, if you read Matthew's gospel, Jesus is going to start focusing upon Jerusalem because he's going to go there and he's telling his disciples, I'm going there because I'm going to die there. I have to do that. So it's important that you understand that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you need to understand also why I need to go to Jerusalem. And Peter would, of course, not want to accept that. Well, not so, Lord. We're not going to let you go and die. That's not going to happen. And Peter was just told by the Lord, get thee behind me, Satan. This has already been foreordained. This is going to happen. But it's coming, and it's going to happen because Jesus also tells us, upon this rock I will build my church, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Because even in Daniel's prophecy, this kingdom is going to be stronger than any other kingdom. It will be universal in scope, and it will be eternal. It will be without end. So we stand for Jesus and his church because we want people to understand if you really want power, if you really want to attain to power in your life, then become a child of God and be added to the body of Christ, because that's where the real power is, because there is no other power on earth that's greater than that power, because it will never be defeated. And if you're in that kingdom, if you're in that church of which Christ is the head, you're the victor. And Satan cannot take that away from you unless you allow him to. But if you stand firm against Satan, you're going to be the victor. And that's the peace that Jesus was talking about. In the Beatitudes, he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." And the peacemaker is actually one who shares Jesus. He shares Jesus with people that he comes into contact with, and he gets them to see the type of a peace that Jesus was really bringing into this world. Because you'll remember the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 when he broke down that middle wall of partition and he created peace. And he himself is our peace. That peace is one of assurance. It's one of confidence, because it's given to us by promise. And as we give ourselves to that, and as we grow in the knowledge of God's word, then we grow deeper in our faith that God is upholding all of the promises that he made. And so we stand even more firm for Jesus and his church, because we realize that this is where real life is going to be found. And only there can real life be found, and that's life eternal. And then we also begin to realize this is where the authority is. All authority's been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Jesus keeps that authority. He's the head of the church. As we enter into a covenant agreement with him, we enter into a relationship that says, "You tell us what it is we need to do, and let us respond back to you in such a way as to live lives that are pleasing to you, but fully understanding this peace that you've given to us," because that's where true divine protection is going to be found. And the boundaries that are established for this kingdom are established by God and given to us through Christ and his apostle. And he simply allows us to respond to that in such a way as we can walk in his presence, even as we are in his presence at this very moment, as we're worshiping him, as we're studying from his word. In a few minutes, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper together, which is the primary reason that we're here, so that we can look back through faith and remember why it is that we have life. And it's because of what Jesus has done for us. We love and stand up for Jesus and his church because it is his church. And secondly, because we love his church. We love that church. Elders are addressed in how they are to treat the church. Paul, remember, called the elders of Ephesus to him in Miletus in Acts chapter 20. And he was warning them that even from among themselves, and maybe not just specifically the eldership, but among brothers and sisters, there's going to be some who may stray away from the truth, and they may begin to start to teach things that are not from God. And he was warning them, because he says, as the elders of the church, you need to stand against these things and not allow it to go forward. And then he tells us in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, why this is so important. Because this is the church that Jesus purchased with his blood. This is why he went to the cross. This is why he went to Jerusalem. So that in giving up himself, he would redeem the world. Those who cared to acknowledge his truth and his authority and respond to the good news as it's revealed in his word. And then we too, along with the elders, stand against false teachers, because we don't want to see something beautiful and pure become impure because of outside influences. We love His church because of the care that's provided by His children. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, a couple of verses there that I want to share with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. He begins in verse 12 by talking about the leaders, the elders. In verse 13, he tells the brethren in general, "Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Remember that confidence that you have, the assurance of life that you have. And then he says in verse 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, and then see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." So that we would have a way available to us to be sharing Jesus with those that we come into contact with. And again, Jude was telling those that when you truly love the Lord, don't allow anything to happen as far as His church is concerned, because there are some who will come in. And if we're not on the alert, if we're not vigil in what the Lord wants us to do, sometimes people can come in, and I've seen it happen in other churches and other congregations. And it's sad. It's sad, and I was talking with someone the other day. You know, you grow up and you're attending services weekly with those that you care for, that you love dearly, and you're going through school together, you're going through life experience together. But things happen as you get older, and eventually your paths of life will cause you to go in different directions as far as life choices are concerned, as far as employment, so forth. And so you kind of lose sight sometimes of those that were so near and dear to you in younger years of life. But then you have opportunity to talk to someone that you have things in common with, and you're able to go back and reminisce about the days of past and those that you knew, and you learn that, yeah, this young man, unfortunately, is no longer faithful. This young lady, this dear sister, is no longer faithful. And your heart just begins to grieve, because you remember what used to be, and then you begin to long for what still could be if people would be able to come back and remember exactly what it is that Jesus once meant to them, that could be rekindled, and He would mean that to them again, and they would come back into His fold and come to be blessed by Him again in a loving relationship. And God is always there waiting for them to come back. He never stops loving them. And that's one of the lessons that we learn about Israel. There were times, as you read in the scriptures, Israel was punished by God. They were disciplined and severely, but He never cast them off completely so as to be lost. He always provided a way back. And we're thankful that they took it. In most cases, they came back and the Father was there. But we love the church because the world needs the shelter of the church. When Jesus said, "I will give to you the keys of the kingdom, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it," What he was wanting people to understand is, if you're truly wanting protection, I can give you protection. Spiritual protection. Now, we know that there are faithful brothers and sisters throughout the world that have given their lives for the cause of Christ. We have not been called upon that in many instances in this country to that point as yet. But we could be. But in other nations of the world, there have been those who have been put to death simply because of their love for Christ. But they would not renounce their love for Him even at the point of death, because they're still protected through the blood of Christ. And the Father still knows who they are, where they are, and even more importantly, knows where they will be for eternity, because He's the one that's provided that for them. In our Bible class, I said, you know, there's a couple of things that the world needs. As far as the church is concerned, it needs renewal. We just need to renew our love for God. We need to renew our love for Christ, and we need to renew our love for the church and His truth, so that we're truly standing on that. And then for the world needs redemption, and we have the message that they need to hear. And we can share that each and every day. And you'll be surprised if you take just 2 minutes to tell somebody that you're thinking about them and you care for them, perhaps even sometimes in a given situation to offer a prayer for them, with them right there. You'll be surprised how many doors that will open. And it's just a very simple thing. Help them out of the darkness into the very light of God. And do that just through caring for souls each and every day, so that we will know and the world will know, hey, there's a reason that we do what we do, why we believe what we believe, and there is a hope that you can share in when you realize what it is that Jesus has done for you. So many people in the world today are still looking for that. And as they're looking, and many of them may not even realize what it is they're looking for, they just know they need to change. And I've told people, I said, you know, with the many things that are going on in our world today, the pendulum is starting to swing. People are starting to realize, you know, this is just getting crazier and crazier. We have got to get back to what we used to know. And even if people weren't children of God, they were at least responsible in how they lived and cared for other people. And I think we're starting to see that again. People are starting to realize we have got to get back to what we used to know. We've got to get back to God. We've got to get back to putting God at the center of things and not let the world dictate how we're going to live or who we're going to follow. The kingdom is still here. The kingdom is still eternal. God is still God. Jesus is still the King. And He is still the answer to life. We just simply need to stand up for Jesus, and we simply need to stand up for His church. As I offer the invitation this morning, each and every one of us have our struggles. None of us are exempt. I talk with brothers and sisters, and even in my family, we're going through struggles with the loss of faith and with other issues that are going on. Nobody's going to be exempt from that. But we need one another to help overcome them. We need prayers. We need support. We need to love one another. And then we still need to let other people know we love them. The Lord loves them. and wants only what's best for them if they will just let Him in to their hearts. And you may be here this morning. There may be things that you're struggling with. Brothers and sisters are here to assist you. They're here to help you. They're here to pray for you, whatever your needs may be. Or even to begin a walk with Jesus. If you haven't begun that walk already, you have opportunity to do that this morning. So whatever your need may be, if we can be of any help to you this morning, we desire to be that help and invite you to respond to the invitation as we stand and as we sing.
There's a fountain free, 576.
There's a fountain free for you and me. Let us make so
lesson. You'll turn now to, I believe it's 174, the Lord's Supper. When we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divine is spread, hearts are brought in closer union, while partaking of the bread, precious feast all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. Christ gently will.
whispers, do this in my memory. God so loved, what wondrous measure, loved and gave the best of heaven, bought us with that matchless treasure, yea, for us his life was given. Precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you. Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. Feast divine, all else surpassing, precious blood for you. Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. Precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you.
And now, Brother Ernie.
Does everyone have their communion? If not, Brother Steve, be happy for having.
As in Roger's sermon this morning, talking about Christ and what he's done for us, no one else could do that. And I'm going to say this right now. Jesus did it for the whole world. I might do it for you folks here, give my life for you. But I don't know if I'd want to do it for the whole world, because I tell you what, there's a bunch of jerks out there. Because I used to be one of them. But, you know, he didn't bat an eye. Christ did not hesitate to give his life for each and every one of us, this entire world, everyone. What a great love. We need to have some of that love in our hearts too, for one another, for strangers along the street. Just have that love, because it makes you whole, makes you feel better. This morning, let's remember what Jesus did for us, what God's Son did for us, great sacrifice. Bread represents his body, fruit of the vine represents his blood. Let's go to God in prayer for the bread. Dear Lord, we humbly come before you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together. Bless this bread that represents your Son's body that was so freely given on the cross for each and every one of us. Help us to be better servants, better Christians. Dear Lord, we again thank you for your Son, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. All this we ask in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. In like manner, let's give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Lord, we ask you to bless this fruit of the vine that represents your Son's blood that was shed on the cross for each and every one of us. Continue to help us have that those scenes of his suffering in our hearts. Help us always be mindful of that sacrifice. Dear Lord, thank you again for your Son. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Also, upon the first day of the week, we're commanded to give back as we've been prospered. Let us go to God in prayer on this matter. Dear Lord, we come before you. We thank you for all the blessings of life that you have so richly bestowed upon us. Help us to have cheerful hearts as we give back to thee a small portion of what you've given us. We could never outgive you. Dear Lord, thank you for all you do for us. Please continue to bless us with all those who are sick and afflicted. All this in Jesus' name we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're a little bit shy on people today, so I'm going to do the announcements here real quickly. Too many sick in our number, way too many sick. So let's start getting feel better. We need to, sun's out there, get out there, get a little bit of sun, vitamins D get in you, and all this good stuff. We need to start getting better. Like Tom or Jim announced, Tom sick, Tyler sick, Dave still not doing well. I keep continuing with him in your prayers. We have a list here in the bulletin, probably about as long as my arm, but so many members get a bulletin. Spring meeting coming up in May, from May 4th, 5th, and 6th, and Tony Terrell will be our speaker. Also in April, we're going to have a heart-to-heart distribution. Keep that in your prayers. I think it would be 2 weeks, Susan, till next kids' youth group meeting. Keep that in your thoughts and prayers. Like I say, a lot in bulletin. Get a bulletin. Is there anything else that I don't know of, I should know about? Again?
Saturday night, they turn their clocks forward 1 hour.
Yeah, going to have to lose another hour of sleep. You guys know how bad I am at getting up and waking up and being asleep all the time. It's horrible. I hate this. Yeah. Leave it one way or the other. But that's my thoughts. But that's... Do you know what's going to happen Saturday? When that changes? My truck clock was going to be right again. It's been a few months. Hey, I'm behind. Oh, no. Okay. Nothing else? Brother Mark's going to give us a closing prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we like to thank you for letting us be able to come together here and be able to sing hymns and hear a lesson from your word. Be with all the sick and the shut-ins that were mentioned today, especially be with the ones that are going to be having upcoming procedures and in the hospitals, and be with them during their times of their illnesses. Be with us now as we go to separate homes until the next appointed time. All this in Jesus' name. Amen.